brought your paper for chapter, the last part of chapter 1. All right, I don't know if there's any back there or not. Rick, was there any of the old papers left? Anybody needs one? Your paper, if you got one for this week, it ought to say on the top of it, Ephesians 1, 4 through 7, I think. Is that right? And then it'll be the back of it. We're on the back of it anyway. All right. Everybody okay? We'll go to prayer. Is everybody all right? All right, let's pray together. Father, we come this evening, and Lord, we've enjoyed the songs, enjoyed the singing, enjoyed the prayers, and Lord, we just enjoy your presence. And Lord, I understand full well, it's done being said, that we're nothing and I'm nothing. Lord, I don't want to just get so involved, I put it off on everybody else. I'm nothing without you tonight. Everything that I am is because of what you've made me. And Lord, I know that I fail in so many areas. So Lord, help my weaknesses, help my failures, forgive my sin. Cleanse me tonight that I might be at one with you the way I need to be, nothing in the way. And may you touch me fresh with thy power that I might teach, preach as you see fit. But most of all, that Christ would be magnified, the word of God would be shown forth clearly. Help me, Lord, as I handle this word. Lord, it's not something that I take for granted. God, help me to do it correctly that I might do it to please you. And we're going to thank you and praise you in Jesus' name and amen. All right. Seems like it's been forever since we've been here. I don't know if y'all all watched live stream Sunday night. It's different having live stream. And I appreciate Cheryl as we open up her home and able to have live stream and her to sing and play. And I appreciate her so much. And I want her to know that. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to go back and read a couple verses give you a highlight two of last Wednesday. But let's look here in verse 13 is where we're going to start. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 13. And then we'll get through the end of the chapter here. And we'll read down through the end of the chapter. All right, everybody with me? It says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave to him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. And I can't read it enough. I've told you so often, I love the book of Ephesians. And the truth, all the Bible's true. Every word's true. Every dot's true. Every colon, every comma, every period, every question mark, everything in it is true. I believe the maps are true. I even believe, I'll go as far as to say, I even believe that the references in the back is true. I just believe everything that's in the covers of my Bible. I believe my Bible. But here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, let's go back just for a moment. And this is where I believe we left off about being sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Said, in whom ye also trusted. Now, remember now, Paul's writing a letter. He's writing to people. He's writing to believers. All right. And he says, in whom ye also trusted. In whom? Well, he just got through talking of 12 verses about Christ. So we've trusted in Christ. If you get saved, it's because you've trusted Christ. You've received Christ as your Savior. It has nothing to do with you, has nothing to do with your works, has nothing to do with your goodness, has nothing to do with your merit, has nothing to do with how much you know. It's you receive Christ, you trust Christ. It says, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth. I like what Brother Rick tells us on Sunday, in Sunday school so often. When you get saved, the word of God's going to be around there somewheres. When you get saved, it's going to be from the preaching of the Word of God, somebody giving you the Scripture, the Holy Spirit speaking the Scripture to your heart. Being born again, the Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, it said. So, we know that that's in there somewheres. Everybody still with me? And then that goes on, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, now here's where we want to hit real hard here, just for real quickly. In whom also, after that ye believed. Now after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. When you believed, then it became a finished transaction. When you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, He saved you for time and eternity right then. You'll never have to be saved again. All right. Now, you say, yeah, but I sin. Yeah. And can I let you know, you'll sin tomorrow and you'll sin the next day and the next day, and you're going to do wrong. And the longer we are Christians, we are going to sin, but we should be sinning less. We should be learning. We should be obedient, but we still have sin because we have His flesh. But that is not that has nothing to do with your salvation. Your salvation is not in you. Your salvation is in Christ. All right. Now, I'm going to paraphrase what Brother Rick gave me a little paper there last week, I believe. And I'll paraphrase it this. Here's how long you can count on being saved. As long as God's God. Now, if He quits being God, you're lost. If He quits being God, because your salvation is wrapped up in the Father and the Son, for I am hid with Christ in God. That's what the Scripture says. I am hid with Christ in God. Everybody understand that? Can I say it again? I love to say it. I'm hid with Christ in God. All right, so when He quits being God, then I won't have no salvation. But neither will no one else. There won't be any. Because it's wrapped up in Christ. Now it says that you're sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, and we went through the Scripture there and showed you where we're bought with a price, the blood of Christ, that when He was on the cross and He paid salvation plan, He said it is finished. There's nothing else has to be added. And when we receive that, there's nothing else has to be added. It's there. The Bible will teach us in chapter 2 that we're saved by grace, not by works. It's by grace through faith. It's not by works. Okay? But you must have the faith to believe and trust Christ as your Savior. Then when you receive Him, then He does the work and does the change on the inside. Now, if you're determined to work, then it does say in the Gospel of John, then do the works of Christ, which is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's all you're going to have to do. If you're determined to go by works, then the only works it says for you to do is believe. Does everybody hear me? Talk to me if you understand what I just said. So it's still in Christ, okay? But now, look at verse 14. It's where we're going to pick up tonight, verse 14, if we can. It says, which is the earnest? Now, let's go back. Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, comma, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of His glory. Now let me explain very simply, okay? In Christ, we're in Christ. Chapter 1 talks about we're in Christ. Does everybody understand what I'm saying? We're in Christ. Now we're given the earnest of the Spirit, the earnest of our inheritance, which is the Holy Spirit of God. It's interest payment. We're a purchased possession, okay? I'm saved. Everybody look at me. Whether you believe it or not, I'm saved. I received Christ. I'm sanctified and being sanctified. I'm justified first. I'm saved. I'm justified. Everybody got that? Now look at me now. I want to make sure you know. I received Christ and He justified me freely by His grace. All right? He reconciled me to God, and God is pleased with the Son. Because, and I received the Son, so He's accepted me in the Beloved. And I'm justified as if I never sinned. Not because of my righteousness, but because of Christ's righteousness. Does everybody understand that? Now, when he saved me, when I received Christ, he saved me, he sanctified me then and set me apart and put me in his body. And now he's sanctifying me daily as he is conforming me into his image. Is everybody following? Now, someday, maybe today, I get to go be with him. And that'll be wonderful. But some glorious morning, I am going to receive a glorified body. All right? I have been justified. I have been sanctified and am being sanctified. And someday going to be glorified. And that's what this is talking about here when it talks about which is the earnest of our inheritance. I'm saved. I'm as saved now as I'll ever be. I'll never be more saved than I am tonight. But I ain't there yet. Everybody understand? I'm not there yet. I'm saved. I'm as saved as I have eternal life. And I'm not going to wait till I get to heaven to get it. I got eternal life now. And the Holy Spirit in me is I've got that earnest, that interest payment. I've got that earnest. That's old term. That's old talk. All right? I got the earnest. And my Spirit is guaranteeing me full payment. But what is my full payment? To when I'm made like unto Christ, when I see Him as He is, and I become like Him, glorified. That's when the purchased possession is in His hands and the whole body of Christ is together and we are forever with Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I've just said? So when you get saved, you're as saved as you'll ever be. Doing good works and being a good Christian don't make you more saved. It makes you a better Christian. It makes you a better testimony. It makes you a worthy ambassador. It makes you a better witness, but it don't make you more saved. Huh? See, when I was born, May the 19th, 1963, Mommy brought all of me home. She didn't have to go back and get a leg when I was 6 months old and a finger when I was 10 years old and an ear. I was born. I was a complete baby when they laid me in her arms back then. I was as born as I'll ever be. I got all of me. They didn't have to go back. They may have left my brain out. But they got everything else. When I was born again, the Holy Ghost moved in. And I'm as saved as I ever had to. Don't have to go back and get anything else. I don't have to look for it. I'm a purchased possession. And some glorious morning, when it says, inherit until the redemption of the purchased possession, until the praise of His glory, when we all stand with Him as redeemed sinners of saying amazing grace, how sweet the sound, and the angels fold their wings because they can't sing the song of the redeemed. And that's what we are. And that's that purchased possession, having full account with Christ. Amen. Face to face. Now, I don't know how much easier I can explain that. All right? That's the best I can give you. All right? Is everybody, anybody don't understand that? Huh? Everybody okay? All right. Now, let's look at verse 15. Now we change. We change over now in verse 15 through 23. We change over and Paul goes to praying. Now remember now, he's writing to the church. He's writing to the believer. If you go back and look in the first two verses there, it says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Huh? I believe it includes us as well. Now look at verse 15. It says, wherefore I also, the Paul speaking now, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, since I heard of you being saved, since I heard about y'all trusting Jesus, since I heard about y'all living and doing what you're supposed to be doing, then I cease not to give thanks for you. Man, I'm thanking God for you because you're living right. I'm thanking God because you're saved. I'm thanking God because you believe the gospel. Huh? Making mention of you in my prayers. Now, what did he hear? We'll flip over to Revelation chapter 2 just for a moment. What did he hear? What did he know what was going on? What did they come back and tell him what's going on? Ephesus had a pretty good name. Revelation 2. Let's see if we can go back and see about these people at Ephesus and see. Does everybody follow me? Revelation chapter 2, I'm sorry. Revelation chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. Now, the first verse tells us, verse 1 tells us who it's talking to, and to the angel of the church of Ephesus. So we're talking to the Ephesian people. So look at verse 2. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne, and hast patience, and for my name's sake hath labored, and hath not fainted. Huh? Can I tell you, Paul knew that's how they were. Now, if you go on and read their Revelations, they messed up. They said, nah, I got someone again. And that's what Jesus said. But when Paul's writing to us, they was running on all eight cylinders. Huh? Everybody was running pretty good. And he said, because I heard of your faith. I heard how you're living. I heard what was going on. It was good. And that was why they was doing it right. In a time of corruption, in a time of false doctrine trying to come through, in a time of idol worship all around them, they were living the Christian life. So don't ever say that at times are hard and you can't live a Christian life. Don't ever say your job's too hard. Don't ever say your neighbors are too mean that you can't live a Christian life. Don't ever say it's your family's too rough. That ain't got nothing to do with it. The Christians there at Ephesus, they were standing strong for the Lord Jesus in the very middle of idolatry, when there was prostitution going on in the church house there in the temple, Diana, and all the filth that was going on. They're standing for Jesus. So don't never say it's too rough that you can't. All right? So Paul was tickled with them. Is everybody still with me? And that brings us down to verse 17. Are we all right? Everybody still here? Now, he changes gears here just a little bit. He goes to praying for him now that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you. Now, see, he said, I'm making mention of you in my prayers. Now, this is what I'm praying for. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. All right? Paul was praying for the people there, the people that was in Christ, the Christ, that they have knowledge of him, wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Not in their knowledge, not to be puffed up, but that we might know him. Is everybody with me there? That we might know Christ. Can I tell you that that ought to be our prayer for other Christians as well? That ought to be us as preachers' prayers. That's my prayer for you. I do desire more for you probably than you desire. Are you listening to me? Can I say that again? I'm not bragging about it, but I think maybe my desire for you is greater than your desire for you when it comes to being a Christian. Huh? Because if your desire was more, you might be doing better. We all right? If your desire was more, you'd probably be doing better. My desire for you is to be doing better than you're doing. Okay? We all right? And that's my desire for me, and I'll be doing better because I'm in this too. I'm a member of the church too, in case y'all didn't know. I'm just, if I wasn't a pastor, I'm still part of Mountain State Baptist Church. Is that all right with y'all? Is that all right? Y'all, I'm still part of the body. If I leave, I'm still part of the body. Is that okay? All right. That says, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That'd be like me praying that y'all get full of the Spirit. How about that? Would that, you think that would be understandable? That I would pray that y'all would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Because if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, did He not say that when He would come, He would teach you all things? He would cause all things to come to your remembrance? That He would speak of me? Jesus said that He would speak of me, and He would glorify me. So if the Holy Spirit is full in your heart and your mind, can I tell you what He's going to be speaking? He's going to be speaking to you about Christ, that you might have wisdom and revelation of Him. Everybody hear me? The Holy Spirit is never going to lead you to build up another man. He's never going to lead you to build up an organization. He'll only bring glory to the Son, for that's why He came. Do I understand that? The Holy Spirit will only bring... Now, you got some of these... Well, we ain't going to go there, but you got. We just need to understand that the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Now, look at verse 18. See, it says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling. What is the hope? That your understanding be enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, which is also our calling, because whatever He has, we have. We're heirs and joint heirs. Are we going to be okay with that? Now, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now, if we're going to look at this thing, now what is our hope? What is the hope? What is the hope of His calling? What is the hope of His calling? Huh? I'm going to tell you what it is. It's simply now. Everybody, look at me. You're going to think, well, this is it can't be that simple. He's wanting you to know what the hope that lies within you, your eternal salvation, your eternal life. We go through life and people don't know if we're saved or not. They call on the Lord and they say they're saved and then do the wrong and they get out of church or do it, then they think you need saved again. They're not fruitful. They're not productive. They bring glory. They don't bring no glory to Christ. They bring no glory to the Word of God. They have no testimony. They have nothing. And they are, hopeless in their self. They are helpless in their self. Most Christians are depressed. They don't know whether they're going to heaven or not. We okay? Yeah. Because some days they feel like a nut and some days they don't. No? All right. It says that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. They say, well, where do you get all that? Well, we're going to stay with the scripture here. Verse 14, with the earnest of our inheritance sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise in verse 13. Goes right on down. Now the eyes of your understanding being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Listen, our inheritance, do you understand that you have more than just a place to go to when you die? There's more than that. Are you listening to me? It ain't pie in the sky, people. This is an inheritance with God, the Creator God. Amen. Are you hearing me? For I am an heir of Christ, and I am a joint heir with Christ. Is not Christ the Creator God? Does not John 1 tell us that nothing was made that was not made by Him? That is not saying Colossians that He's the Creator? Huh? Look at the inheritance I have. I got eternal life. I will never perish as God is from everlasting to everlasting. I'm not from everlasting, but bless God, I'm to everlasting. Huh? Are we all right with that? That's the inheritance in Christ. And look at all the, listen, we got God's blessing down here with, well, I got food to eat and I got shoes to wear and I'm happy. Well, that's good. That's good. But that ain't his inheritance. That's not his inheritance. When you get there, you won't have to eat. You won't need no shoes. Alright? Well, I got a good warm house. You ain't gonna worry about heat in heaven. This is fleshly. We measure heaven by the flesh. You can't do that. This is all temporary. Everything you got is temporary, but salvation. Everything you own is temporary, but salvation. Amen. And that's not your inheritance. It's far above what we can comprehend. Why? Because the prayers ain't been fully answered yet. Because he's praying that our eyes be enlightened, that we might know what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Huh? We can't get out of the world long enough to find out in the scripture everything he's got for us. Because we got our life engulfed in the world instead of Christ. Is everybody hearing me? Christ in us, hope of glory, teaching us all things, but we go around with our hands over our ears, not listening to the Holy Spirit's direction. We're too busy questioning God and telling God and complaining to God instead of living for God. Huh? Are we okay? Let's look on. The glory of our inheritance. All that he has. If he don't have no need of gold, we may not want all the money, but we don't want no less. Am I right? We may not want it all. We'll say, well, I don't want all of it, but you don't want to give up all what you got. Right? You understand that he walks on gold? You understand that the precious stones that you ladies wear on your hands and on necklaces and all these things, you understand that that's just stuck in the foundations of the holy city. You understand that it means nothing when he used the precious stones of this world to build a city for us to dwell in. The inheritances of the riches of his grace is more than the material. We measure everything on material. We measure church services on material, on people. If there are not enough people, we get discouraged and we can't shout with the Lord. If a certain person don't sing, we can't enjoy. All that's foolish flesh. We got Christ in us. We've already been bought with a price. And we're already heirs and joint heirs. Are we still okay? Now, let's go on. I was wanting to finish this. It says, verse 19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Where? To us for who? Who believe. So it's usward, ain't it? What is his power? Well, his power to usward, the greatness, is manifested in the believer. Huh? It's in us, right?
Yes.
Talk to me. It says, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward? It's shown to us according to the working of his mighty power. All right? Well, let's see what his power is. Verse 20. Which he wrought in Christ. Huh? Well, what power did he wrought in Christ? Well, just what power did Christ have? He had all power, did he not? But now he's talking about, but he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Do you know that manifested in us is that resurrection power? Huh? How about Romans 8 real quick? Can we go there? Romans 8, I believe. verse 11. How about Romans verse chapter 8, verse 11? But if the Spirit of Him, wonder who that is. But it's the Spirit. We're talking about God. I mean, the Spirit of God, of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in you. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Huh? It's manifested to us. Are we still okay? Huh? Which He wrought in Christ when He raised you from the dead. And what did He do with Him? Well, He ascended. He died. He was buried. Right? Purchased our salvation. Right? He buried Him. And then by the power of God, He was raised. Yeah. Right? And then He ascended. Huh? He ascended. And what did He do? It says there in the last part of verse 20, and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places. Well, wonder what He's doing up there anyway. What's He doing up there now? I reckon He's done, ain't He? He's on vacation now? No! He said He ever liveth to what? Maketh intercession for me. You know what the Son's doing right now? He's ever interceding. Yeah. Yes. We are a worthless bunch. You know that? We're a trifling, but we ain't worth spit. We're not worth killing, huh? Right. It'd be a waste to kill us. And the Son is interceding with the Father, saying, Father, don't kill him. I know you can't look on sin, but look at me. Look at me, because I took their sin. And He's interceding with the Father. And God sees me pure as the driven snow. Think about that. That's why I'm secure in Christ. Because God's looking at Christ, looking at me through Christ. He's not looking at me through my frail and miserable life. He's not looking at me in my mistakes and sin. He's not looking at me in my weaknesses. God's looking at me through Christ. And I have Christ's righteousness. Huh? Are we okay? So the power is manifested in His resurrection to usward. His ascension to usward. Huh? How far did He ascend? Far above all principality. Look at His power. He's over all principality. He's got power and might. He says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Look how high He's set. We got to go back and look at His glories. Look at our inheritance of the glories of Christ. He's higher than everything. Don't measure it on the earth. Remember that He sits and crosses His feet and makes the earth His footstool. You understand that's how great He is. You understand? He's not mighty, He's almighty. He's not powerful, He's all powerful. He's omnipotent, He's omniscient, He's omnipresent. He can do all, He's all power, He's all knowing, and He's everywhere at once. Huh? And He lives in me. Are we okay? Huh? He's far above. He's far above. Ain't that what you told us in Sunday school, Brother Rick? Ain't that what you said in John? How'd you get that in John? We're in Ephesians. And you told us in John that He's far above. Wait a minute, I don't understand it. Well, it must be because it's God's Word and it all comes together. And He said He's far above, He's far above everything. Hey, do you got Him in your heart tonight? I'm asking you, are you saved tonight? Are you sure that you're saved? Then you got all power in your heart because Christ liveth in you. Huh? Huh? We still okay? Verse 22 then says, and hath put all things under His feet. And has put all. Does everybody understand that the devil ain't won nothing, and the devil ain't going to win nothing, the devil can't win nothing, and all things is under His feet? That what's overwhelming you, He don't even blink an eye. What's got you burdened down? Trust me. Trust me. Trust me. What's tearing you apart? Trust me. Trust me. He's got it. He's got it. Are you listening to me? And have put all things under His feet. and gave him, that God has gave Christ, gave him to be the head over all things to the church. He's the head. How is he the, why is he the head? Verse 23 says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. If you're saved tonight, you're part of the body of Christ. Huh? Does that rest your... Does that do anything for you? To know that you're part of the body of Christ. If you're, now, if you ain't a believer, I got to understand why you'd be scared to death, because you could go to hell just any second. Huh? Are we still okay? Christ is the head of the church, and the church is the body of Christ, and every believer since the resurrection is part of the body, his bride. Huh? Everybody understand that? Are we okay? You okay? Well, that's the best I can tell you in chapter 1. Huh? Can't give you no more. That's my limit. I've exhausted my limit at this present time to give you any more out of Ephesians chapter 1. Huh? But stay tuned. We get to go to chapter 2. Huh? Can I give you, I'm going to give you one thought and we'll go home. Let's look at chapter 2. The first two words. Is that fair? And you. Now we're going to see. We done seen about Christ. Now we'll see about us. Huh? And you.